Okay, we are on page 109 of Sketches from the Life of Paul, right? Is that how it's titled? Let me see if I just go here for a second. Yeah, Sketches from the Life of Paul. Oops, wrong one. Well, I got to fix that for tomorrow because tomorrow's Q&A, so I'll do that later. But yeah, we're on a brand new chapter on page, 109, bottom of the page. It starts a new chapter, chapter 11. And for those that don't know how to read Roman numerals, the X, of course, is 10. The I is a 1. That's why you could spell Vicarius Filii Dei, which is the names of the popes. That's their title. No matter what they choose as a name, they always have the name or the title, Vicarius Filii Dei, or Dux Clary, or He Latin Basilia. There's 13 different titles to the office of pope in Latin, and Latin is, they use Roman alphabet as well as Roman numerals. And so just spell their name, add it up. It's always going to, each and every one of them equals 666 individually, just like the prophecy said. But so if the number one is after the X, then that you add it to it, so that's 11. If it's before it, that would be 9. Or I think they would do, some of them do the V with four ones after it, or four I's after it. But I don't know. But you can really tell, like Universal Studios, because Catholicism in English is universal. Universal Studios, at the bottom of every one of their movies, they have that huge stack of X's and I's and V's and C's and all that stuff on the bottom for the actual, I guess it's the date of the filming. That's all Latin lettering. Hollywood is a mainstay for the Pope. He makes a lot of money there. So anyway, we're on page 109, chapter 11. And it's about the epistles to the Thessalonians. And that's what it's about. And so, make sure everything's hot. Way too many monitors. So, anyway, while Paul was still at Corinth, laboring in word and doctrine, and also in the workshop, Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia. The pleasure of meeting these two faithful co-laborers gave him fresh zeal and courage to withstand the continually increasing opposition which had greatly hindered his labors. The apostle himself acknowledged that he was in Corinth, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, but God, who comforteth those that are cast down, comforted him by the arrival of his friends. I was just talking to the Lord about that today in the midday, about the perfect peace. As a matter of fact, yesterday too, because of strange things that are going on right now, and there's a couple of pages I'm going to be putting on the site in the CK area. If you know what I mean when I say CK, some very 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 bad information that. And now we have two smoking guns on this, absolute documented proof. And that's difficult for me to deal with because, you know, like I was out and praying about it and stuff like that, because I know to let the Lord take care of all this that's going on. But at the same time, I've got to do my duty too in regards to Ephesians 5 or 1 Timothy 5, whatever, or even Matthew 18 for that matter, you know, and go all the way there. So Corinth, I guess, wasn't an easy place to be, obviously, especially in the beginning. Remember, like last week we were talking about that, how he didn't think anything was going to come of it, you know, kind of like I would think Jonah, and he didn't want to go to Nineveh, you know. But it's just like with ourselves, too, you know. You walk up to somebody, and the Holy Spirit's telling you, speak to this person, and you go, whoa, the guy's like 7 foot tall, burly, you know. He could just swing his hand like a grizzly bear and throw me in the next week. And all of a sudden, the guy starts crying when you share the truth. He's a big old teddy bear, and he was open for Christ at that moment, right? So you never know. You got to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, even if they hit you. See that, you know, like with the Titus 3:10 thing, you know, second and first admonition, or first and second admonition, you reject them, you know, treat them like the heathen, you walk away, because someone else is going to be sent by the Lord, because the Lord loves them. He's going to keep sending people, right? But why does he say first and second? Well, sometimes you can just tell the first time you even try to share the truth with some people that you don't want to go anywhere near that kind of person ever again, right? And so you don't even do the second admonition. The second admonition, or the second attempt at sharing the truth with them, you'll know by the end of that too, whether or not it's a waste of time. But don't do like I did when I first started out on the street many, many, many years, 30-something, like almost 40 years ago. And I spent a lot of time with this one guy over and over and over and over. But it worked out well because it was a repetitive topical study, because the guy had questions on top of questions on top of questions, and he kept going back and forth between me and his Lutheran pastor. And so, boy, did I, you know, it just allowed me to do intense Bible studies every single solitary day, because I loved him that much. He was a buddy of mine, you know, and I found Christ. He didn't. And I was trying, you know. But the Lord finally revealed to me, you know, why he wasn't sending anybody else, is because I'm too busy ignoring what he said in Titus 3. So after I did that and walked away, then, yeah, the floodgates opened, and the Lord has been allowing us to share with many. So anyway, she goes on to say that God designs that fellow laborers in the gospel shall have their hearts knit closely together in the bonds of Christian love, so that their presence shall greatly cheer and encourage one another. The verse that comes to mind is the love is thicker than a brother. What is it? The love is closer. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah, let me look that one up for you. Really quick. I got a feeling that Sean is going to beat me to it. Put in sticketh. Oh, of course. I misspelled something. Oh, stucketh. I spelled stucketh instead of sticketh. That's what I get for typing too fast. Yep. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Proverbs 18. I beat him? Did I actually beat him? Proverbs 18, verse 24. Okay, so, but yeah, that's what comes to mind. Because, like when we have our camp meetings, how about it? I mean, we don't want to leave. Even though we'll do 5 days in a row sometimes, most of the time. Because we do the midweek thing to keep away from the beers and the bikinis. Because like during the summer months, the weekends, like we would love to have Sabbath with each other, the weekends are just packed with partiers, you know. And so they don't know any better. And it could get bad. And so we do the Sunday to Thursday usually. Thursday, because you got to be home. You got to have a whole day for preparation day. And so, yeah, we usually don't hang out on Fridays. Oh, well, maybe Sean did beat me. It's just that he's 20 seconds behind. I just noticed it popped up in the text chat over there. That's the only drawback with the way we're doing this hybrid system. Unless everybody's in the turbo meeting, you're 20 seconds behind me. So, well, that's still good. I just got to be patient. So, anyway, going on, let me scroll up a little bit here. It says that Paul had sent Timothy to revisit the places of his former labors and to confirm and establish the church at Thessalonica. Timothy's report was encouraging and refreshed the spirit of Paul. He was thus prompted to write to these beloved brethren. His first and second epistles to the church are given us. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And so his heart was drawn out in love to those who had embraced the doctrine of Christ, which subjected them to reproach and persecution there, you know, heretofore unknown to them. And so, you know, that's always going to be the par for the course, because Satan is on the planet, and, you know, he knows where we're at, and that's why the temptations come. Stand firm, brothers and sisters. He's going to start tempting all of us, myself included, in ways he never did before, just to try to get us off the path. And it's just like with this vaccine thing, telling people to go ahead and get the vaccine and then detox later. No, that's, unless they force you, like hold you, like handcuff you or something, don't fight them. You know, that's not Christ-like. Do violence to no man. Even John the Baptist said that, right? And so, but if they force it out of you, then yeah, the Lord will protect you. Give thanks unto that which is entering your body. You know, Lord will protect you. Even if you drink any poison thing, you'll be okay, right? But there's not a lot of obedient Christians out there, and they might not, you know, realize the proper thing to do, and end up getting jabbed, and it could cause some major problems, or even kill them. Have a look at the guy in Brazil, 20 years old, a guinea pig for the government, so he can make a couple of bucks, let them test the vaccine on him, and it killed him. And so, but there's, you know, they hush that stuff up, of course. But the fact is, yeah, if they stick you with it, like if forcing you to do it, then yeah, just get the detox later. But you got to learn to stand firm. See, this is why I also would tell people over the years when they would always send me an email, and a lot of times this is what's, and I never say anything. I never say, I says, well, you know, you don't tithe to me. You don't, I mean, they call me pastor, but they never come to church. They don't tithe. And they say, they go to the website and they'll say, you know, I consider you my pastor. Would you write a letter so that I can tell my boss that I can't work on Sabbath? I said, no. I don't even do that for a church member. Why? Why do you suppose that? Some of you know why. Okay? Some of you do know why. It's not because I'm a jerk. Just, I've done the letters in the past. I started to realize the Lord showed me something. He says, you know, this ain't a good idea. They've got to learn to stand firm on their own. Because what's going to happen if they can't declare, because every single solitary time they did stand on their own, not only did they get the job, it was better than they thought, right? And so, but it allows you to stand on your own. It's just like with the vaccine. If you, this is a way, you know, I look at this vaccine thing as like a test for us. The Lord is allowing us, just like with the mask thing, He's allowing us to figure out a way to get around all this as a Christian with courage. So that when it comes time for the mark to be enforced, we'll already have certain things in place where we can just, no, I'm not getting it. But if you cave on the vaccine, you never have any really experience, any kind of real experience of standing firm. You got to do it the first time with the mark. You know, that's not going to work out very well. And so when you get wolves out there that are telling people, go ahead and take the vaccine and detox later, like Doug Basher does, on camera, and on camera, he said it directly after someone called in and declared and read the transcript, or not the transcript, but the white paper on the vaccine, and showed him how there was not only toxins that are dangerous for the human body in there, there were pig cells in it. Swine. So right off the bat, you're going to be defiling your body, right? Doug Basher says, yeah, I think it's a good thing. He even went that far. It's on camera. I did a video on it, in fact. And so, if you can't stand firm now on something as piddly as a vaccine, I mean, seriously. Oh, but I can't go over to the store and buy food. Go to a different store. I mean, even with the mask, some of us have seen this. Sure, you can't go into some of the big box stores without the mask, and the mask isn't a sin. You can wear the mask, just don't let the mask wear you. You know what I mean? It's so as not to offend kind of a thing, right? Kind of like paying your taxes. You don't have to. There's no law that says you have to. The IRS will even tell you it's voluntary, but then they say you got to volunteer. So as not to offend. That's another thing Doug Batchelor did. He told the people that he didn't have to pay taxes, and he purposely did not share verse 27, the last verse of that chapter, where the Lord told Peter to go ahead and pay the taxes so as not to offend. He purposely left that out because of his 501c3. So anyway, the vaccine will help some of us to learn how to stand firm. Like I was saying with the mask, some stores with the vaccine, I'm sure, are going to do it because, we were talking about this earlier, my wife and I earlier, you don't have to pass the law to get people to take the vaccine. You didn't have to pass any laws at all to get them to wear a mask, did you? There's no laws out there. How do you think they did it? Well, you remember when the Pope had all the meetings with the politicians and the CEOs? The politicians will fuel the fire in the media, and the CEOs will make sure they put signs on their windows on their big box stores say, you ain't getting in here without a mask. But the mom and pop stores, you see why they wanted to shut down all the mom and pops? That's why Walmart keeps showing up in areas and destroying mom and pop stores. Because like even in cities like little cities like Lafayette, you can't go to Meijer's without wearing a mask, but you can go to like a little store on the corner over there that sells health foods. You know, they'll let you in. They know what's up. Or like the gas stations. You know, every gas station I went to, you go in and there's no one's wearing any masks. And so, but anyway, I'm in small town USA, so you know there's a bunch of small towns out where I'm at. I don't live in one, but they're all around me, and they're all over the place out here, really tiny ones. So just, you know, we all got to learn. This is our opportunity to, you know, learn how to, you know, handle what's coming. Even with the buying and selling thing, when that goes down, we're going to know how to buy and sell things anyway without getting the mark. It's called bartering, you know. I'll share more on this tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So, let's continue. Anyway, it says, there was still another reason for Paul's communication to these brethren. Some who were newly brought into the faith had fallen into errors in regard to those who had died since their conversion. Let's see here. Everything's good. Okay. So, died since their conversion. They had hoped that all would witness the second coming of Christ, but they were in great sorrow as one after another of the believers fell under the power of death, making it impossible for them to behold that desirable event, the coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven. Does that sound familiar? 1844, right? You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. As a matter of fact, today, too, I put it in my notes. I might even do it as a Q&A in regards to how, if you noticed, I got to do a little bit more research into the timing as to when Elijah ascended. I got to figure, because I know he ascended, you know, I just can't remember how long after the 3.5 year drought. Does anybody know, just offhand, like anybody into that Bible trivia thing? Because if it's 40 days, we got a lockdown here. Because there was a drought during the time of Christ, when Christ preached for 3.5 years. There was a spiritual drought. There wasn't a physical drought, there was spiritual drought. And in Elijah's day, it was 3.5 years of that, you know, physical drought. And then Elijah ascended, of course. And then Christ, of course, ascended after he was crucified and all that. And so I'm going to look into that. But I just love it, the way the prophetic events, everything just falls into place like that, the way the Lord shows us. But anyway, continuing, it says, some who had fallen into the error that Christ was to become in their day imbibed the fanatical idea that it was praiseworthy to show their faith by giving up all business and resigning themselves to idle waiting for the great event which they thought was near, like they did in 1844, as we all know. Now, or like they did on October 23rd a few years ago, or was it that 2012, that guy with, I can't remember his name, but he had a stroke and died eventually. But a lot of people, it's commendable to do that, of course, obviously, to have that much faith in the Lord. And we also have to understand that they didn't have the Urim and the Thummim handy, okay? The rabbis weren't going to get, like the high priest, you know, the white and the black stones with the yes and no kind of a thing on it. Well, definitely thing on it. So they only had 5 books. They only had the Torah. That's it, what Moses wrote. Hence the reason for prophets. Hence the reasons for the Urim and the Thummim. Or Thummim. Was it Thummim? Yeah, I think it's Thummim. But, and so when if they didn't have any inside information in regards to, like today, we are so overwhelmingly blessed with 66 books. You know, because like, you can think about, like I was thinking about this earlier today when I was in the study, how when Jesus stopped by, where was it? Capernaum. He stops by Capernaum, right? They did not want him to leave. Well, none of them wanted him to leave any city, in fact, right? But it just hit me like a ton of gold bricks from heaven about how they did not want him to leave. Because just sitting there listening to him preach and teach, can you imagine just being there like that? And then it hit me. We can be alone with Jesus anytime we want. They can only do it whenever he stopped by. Anytime we want, we can grab our Bible with all 66 books in it now and let him speak unto us, because he is the Word made flesh. And I thought, oh man, thank you, Lord. You know, it just makes it that much more amazing. You know, it just, wow, I just love him for the way his Word just opens up like that. So, yeah, amen, Brother Arthur. I just saw what he put in the room. So you're going to hear this 20 seconds later. But he put, because I actually put this on my site a few places. I'm going to mention this tomorrow as well in regards to, you know, when they're pushing the vaccine thing, like with the liberals with their pro-choice thing. They're always yelling, my body, my choice. Well, same thing with the vaccine, my body, my choice. But they're also working towards removing abortion to where they say, okay, well, that doesn't work anymore. Well, it worked for so many years, you know, but because now you can kill me. It's not so much killing my baby, let's say, if I was a woman. But and they are going to change the Constitution. We already know that. Sister White prophesied about that. Even if you didn't know who Sister White was, you could put two and two together and still come up with the fact that they're going to change the Constitution because of what happened what was it, 5-6 years ago, where all the constitutions changed, all those nations, every time the Pope went and visited a certain nation, a week or two after that, their constitution changed. It was obvious what he was doing. And, I mean, it was just all of them. It was hundreds. Well, not hundreds, because, you know, the ones that refuse, obviously, are at war, and they're still fighting, you know, the Islamic thing and all that. But anyway, she goes on to say that others despise the gift of prophecy, exalting all other gifts above that. Well, that's because, like with the people in the Pentecostal churches, why do you suppose they would not, you know, use... There's two things that a lot of them steer clear of, even though there's a lot of them that actually claim to be prophets. But they'll claim to be prophets on a personal level to give you some kind of inside information in regards to what you should do. Like, you know, kind of like an astrologer or horoscope kind of a guy, right? So most of them steer clear of that. There are some that have enough guts to go ahead and share false prophecies. But they'll word them in such a way where they could be kind of like a Nostradamus thing with his quatrains, where you can't really tell what he's saying. And they could say, oh, it was fulfilled, but not in the way you thought. You know, I come up with this falderal or that falderal. But the other one was healing, the gift of healing. They can't fake that. You can't fake prophecy either, but the guy can live on for 20, 30 years and say, hey, just give it time, the prophecy will be fulfilled. And all of a sudden he starts pushing up daisies because he died. Prophecy never fulfills, but he don't care. He's dead now. He made his money. And, with the healing, though, they can't fake that. And so, but the tongues, they can. And so, anyway, she says, others despise the gift of prophecy, exalting all other gifts above that, even though prophecy, the gift of prophecy is actually considered better than healing. And I thought, well, anyway, the first time I saw that, because I've always thought healing would be the best, because we've seen quite a few healings. Anyway, Paul, not that, you know, I'm saying as a church family, okay, not me personally. All right, so Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, greeting them and invoking in their behalf the blessing of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminded them of his own labors among them and their acceptance of the word, turning away from idols, to serve the living God, or living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He further referred to his work and that of his fellow laborers among them, reminding them of the boldness with which they had preached the gospel unto them in the midst of opposition, abuse, and discouragement, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And so, again, I got to bring up the vaccine or even the masks. Now, the masks, again, it's not that big of a deal because of the fact that it's not a sin, you know, but knowingly defiling the body, standing in line, yeah, sure, jab me. I can't see that the Lord's, you know, smiling on that one. But and plus, we know flu shots don't work. And they always give you the flu shot from the previous year. And everybody knows it. They take the shot anyway, and then they get the flu anyway. I don't know how many people have already gotten the flu after getting a flu shot, but they still keep getting it. Especially if you work in the AMA, they kind of force you to do it. But you're constantly putting in all these disgusting things into your system, it's eventually going to get to you. You know, it's just like with anything else. You keep eating garlic every day, by the end of a month, you're going to, you know, no one's going to want to be anywhere near you. And so, and that's just eating things. They're injecting things every single solitary year. I couldn't believe it when, like, and I put this in one of my videos. When I was a kid, by the time I got out of high school, they were doing the thing where I think it was three or four vaccinations by the time I got out of high school. The one I got at 10, well, the one I got at 8 or 9 didn't seem like the smallpox thing when I was a kid, where they just kept stabbing you in the shoulder over and over and over and over. They put this drug or this vaccine drug on your, I think it was on my left shoulder. Let me see. I still got the scar. Scarred me for life, I tell you. Yep, it's my left shoulder. And they smeared on there, and they just stabbed you over and over and over and over again with a really short needle. Yeah, just getting in there with this 8-year-old, right? Yeah, you had to hold the kid down. They had to hold me down. And so they just keep stabbing you, right? And then injects into your system, and then it scars. You get a big old scab about the size of a quarter. It eventually falls off, and it's disgusting. It looks, for the rest of your life, you got a big old scar on your shoulder, right? A couple of years later, they had a booster shot, and they gave me that. And that did something that I've been dealing with a problem my entire life because of that. That vaccine harmed me. It damaged me. And there's nothing I could do. You know, how can I go back? You know, the doc that did it, he's dead, Dr. McStutis. And literally, and you'd think they would have known something was up when I kind of went to sleep for a couple, 3 days. My parents actually put me in a crib, because even though I was 10 years old, because they thought I was going to roll off the bed and hit the ground, because I was just moaning and groaning for like 2-3 days. So anyway, going on, it says, Paul then, but getting back to that, you know, not pleasing men thing, because we're going to have to go out there. And I was just thinking about this a minute ago when Silas and Timothy came and visited Paul, and his heart lit up, right? I can't wait until they kick us off the internet, brothers and sisters, you know, because we're going to know what time it is. I mean, we already know. Fran and I were just talking about this earlier, like when the sun was going down, we did our, you know, prayer and our Sabbath reading, and we were talking about how exciting it is. Never in the history of mankind has everything fallen into place like it. Not even in 1844, other than, of course, the 2300-year prophecy was ending. That was obvious. But the understanding of what was going down was not. But now it's beyond that, because we even have them doing things to set up the enforcement of the mark of the beast by what they're doing with the mask and the vaccine. Both things are going to be, the way they're enforcing the mask, the way they enforce the mark, is the exact same way they enforce the mark. Not the vaccine, but the mark. How? Well, think about it. The loud cry is going to be done when they start enforcing the mark, right? Or during the, we don't know exactly how. We're going to go forth on loud cry first. It's going to tick them off, because it's going to start emptying the churches. And they're in it for the money. They're all 501c3, so they don't want their money to go bye-bye. And so they join with the state, which they've already done. They got the power now, especially as of December 2nd, 2017, when Trump made it law that all 501c3 preachers can now lobby for religious laws to shut us up. That was prophesied. So that's a done deal. They can do it now. And so when we go forth and their churches start empty, because real Christians are in there. Revelation 18:4 wasn't written for just filler. I mean, it's really going to happen. And so we're looking at everything that's already set in place. And the reason why I say they do the mark, or they do the mask and the vaccine the same way they do the mark, everybody knows. I would think just about everybody knows, because everybody that I've ever talked to says, yeah, I know. The mask really doesn't work. We're just doing it because I don't want to get harassed. So they go ahead and do something they know is wrong to do because they don't want to be harassed. Vaccine, same thing. Mark is the same thing. But now here's the thing. Well, how are they going to know it's wrong to do? Come on, not everybody knows about the Sabbath. Look, the prophecy says they enforce the mark after the loud cry. That means every human on the planet will know Sunday is the mark of the beast. They will all know this. They will make the decision, just like they did with the mask or the vaccine. That's what that's setting up. Not like the mask or the vaccine is going to make you go to hell in a handbasket. No, it's just setting up the mindset. It's just demographic research for the U.S., well, actually for Satan. He doesn't want to mess this up. He's already tested commandment number 1, 2, 3, Esther's Day, Daniel's Day, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's Day. He's already tested commandment number 1, 2, 3. He's been holding on to 4 for all, you know, for the last days. He doesn't want to mess this up. So before he enforces the mark, he has to make sure, where's the problem? Where are, you know, that's where the demographic stuff comes in. Who are the problem people? Us, obviously, right? And so, yeah, we're going to get booted off the internet, and then we're going to be able to go out there and hit the streets, and our hearts will light up when we run into each other. You know, and so again, how are you going to buy and sell? Just don't get pulled over by the cops. Make sure your plates are valid, because we'll have at least a year, unless you can get a 2 or 3 year tag on your plates. But even plates are illegal. There's no law that says you got to have license plates. There's no law that you got to have a mayor's license or car insurance. That's against the Constitution. Mark is the same way. You know, well, the mark will be a law, guaranteed, yeah. But everything that steps up to it, no. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get the people used to doing something they know for a fact is wrong. But they're going to do it anyway to prevent the harassment. And so that mark, everybody's going to know Sunday's the mark of the beast. They're all going to know, because the loud cry is going to be done. So she goes on. Paul then endeavored to inform his Thessalonian brethren concerning the true state of the dead. You know, I didn't even know about this until because I never knew who Ellen White was. And this is when Sister Bonnie was still alive. And she mentioned this, something like, right after I first met Bonnie, she says, you need to do a video on the state of the dead. And I go, why? She goes, because of how Sister White brings it up, how the devil's going to use the state of the dead in a very powerful way to bring people into his way of thinking. And then it just brought me back about 20 years, because I used to mess with the occult. I got into the face-changing manifestations, all of it. These demons are real. They will appear right in front of you. And you can, like the people that see their dead grandma at the end of their bed at 4 o'clock in the morning one night, that's a demon, obviously, but they think it's grandma. Because their pastor says, oh yeah, you go straight to heaven when you die. Or you go straight to hell. If you're Catholic, you're going to be in purgatory a few hundred million years. You know, so everybody's believing all the faldera because no one's reading that book. You know, the 66 books. I mean, how easy can God make it before for some people to really open that thing up? But what do you know? It's the end days. So anyway, she goes on. She says, he speaks of them as asleep and a state of unconsciousness. And then, of course, she's echoing here. Where is this? I don't know. I don't think she's... I think this is... No, this wouldn't be Acts. I guess Paul Peter was the one that brought up... David, and I think it was Acts chapter... Yeah, that was on Pentecost when Peter brought that up. So, yeah, Paul's not even in the picture at that time. So let's just read on. It says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not... Oh, okay. This. Wow, isn't that neat? I just realized it. She worked into that passage in a way that's amazing, because people were dying at that time, but I didn't know. You know, I never knew this before, because I never read this book, as far as I can remember, but that the people back then, when they thought, I knew the thing about John, I knew there were some of the apostles that thought John would never die, because Jesus says, what's it to you if he's here till I come back, you know, kind of a thing, you know? He didn't really say he was going to be alive forever, he's just more or less telling Peter, what's it to you? You be concerned with your walk. But this is neat how she worked this into it, showing how everybody, all the Christians that believed in the second coming of Christ, thought it was going to happen in their lifetime, like they did in 1844. So, but then it would be easier to understand it when you get to our day, obviously, because we now have all 66 books, so it's easier to understand the, like take the parable for example. He spoke the parable right to them about the Good Samaritan. And then paying the bill and saying, I'll be back in 2 days to pay what he owes, you know, which is 2,000 years to our father. And then you just put two and two together, and that's 2031, right? And so, and I'm not setting any dates. Please, please, please. I'm not, you know, setting any dates whatsoever. Satan's trying to, though. He's trying to figure, that's why he's got that telescope in Arizona is called Lucifer, pointed at the Orion Nebula. And there is a cloud coming out of the nebula, too, by the way. I got a page on the website all about it. But yeah, no need to set... You could know the season, you know. Season can be a lifetime, and I'm pretty... unless I get, knocked off, killed or whatever, I do believe I'll see the Lord return in my lifetime. And I won't even be hitting 80. All right. And so that's what I believe. I've always believed that way, though. I didn't know. I thought it'd be sooner, to be honest with you. I thought it'd be in my early 60s or so. I couldn't set a date even then. You know, I just thought it'd be like during the Clinton years. I knew he was the end time president, and I still say he is. Clinton is the end time president. Okay, Trump's doing a lot of stuff, too, that's, you know, bringing in the religious laws. But what Clinton did with those executive orders that John F. Kennedy penned, Roman Catholic John F. Kennedy penned, those executive orders are being used right now. Clinton put them in force. And I says, that's how they're going to enforce the mark. What Clinton put in force is going, you know, the martial law, splitting up of families, shutting down cities when a pandemic or an economic crisis. I mean, that's my very first newsletter on the website. Because that was my last newsletter in the snail mail area before the internet came to town. And then when the internet came, I built a newsletter online. And my very first one, I call it, this is worth repeating kind of a thing, I talk about the executive orders in there that John F. Kennedy penned and Clinton enforced or put into force. So, where did I leave off here? Okay. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And then that dot, dot, dot's a little annoying. Then it goes on, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Okay, that's no secret rapture there, right? It's pretty now. It's everybody's going to know. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, that's the Gideon band. The only people that are going to be alive at that time and still be considered heaven bound are the 144,000. Everybody else is laying in the grave waiting to get awakened. You know, wake us up kind of a thing. So then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, because it's just like with when Jesus, John chapter 11, when he was talking about Lazarus being sick and all that. And then he says, Lazarus sleepeth, I'm going to go and wake him up. And the apostles try to stop him and say, well, if he sleepeth, he's going to do okay. And then he had to literally tell him, no, he's dead. They didn't understand the state of the dead. I mean, that's why Peter had to say what he said after Christ already ascended. Because now Pentecost hits 40 days after Christ ascends. Pentecost hits and Peter gets out there on a balcony and he preaches and tells about how King David's still in a grave. And so they were doing it back then. Well, obviously, why? I mean, look at the witch of Endor. Acting like she rose Saul from the dead. So this has been going on for 6,000 years, no doubt. Well, maybe five. Because I'm thinking after the flood of Noah, it started getting really messy. Because before then, obviously, Adam and Eve brought up their kids to the best. Well, the one, you know, Seth, obviously brought him up a little better. Cain was off on his rampant. At least I'll be able to see Abel again. But I don't know about where Seth ended up. Lineage-wise, so anyway, she goes on to say that the friends of the righteous dead should not sorrow at those who as those who lose their loved ones and have no hope in Jesus Christ, and who are not cheered by the immortal future beyond the resurrection of the just. And here's another thing, and this really, and I saw this literally face to face, calm a woman down when I shared this with her. Actually, she was my boss. And this was years ago before I was fired, more or less, from that company. First, I think it was the second time I was ever fired in my life. Anyway, it was for strange reasons. But anyway, she had I think it was a niece that died. And she loved a little kid, you know, a little guy, a little girl. And you could tell it tore her up and stuff like that. And she asked me, she wanted, because she knew I was a preacher. It's one of the reasons she hired me. But didn't want me preaching on the property for some strange reason. I says, well, look, you see this piece of paper in my pocket? Whenever anybody asks me a question, if it has to do with the scriptures, I sign out. And they all see me do it. And the other job that I got after that, he says, yeah, go for it. I don't care. Sign out, share the word, sign back in. I says, okay. So he gave me the free will to do it. So anyway, she's, you know, I told her, I more or less explained to her the state. She was Catholic. And she thought the little niece, I think it was a boy. Because I remember, she says, the little boy, he's wandering around in limbo or purgatory looking for mommy or daddy, and he's screaming and crying, he's all scared. And I opened up the word to her. I said, look, he doesn't even know he's dead. Let me ask you this. When you went to sleep last night, did you have a dream? She goes, no. Do you remember rolling around in your bed all night long, 8 hours long? She goes, no. Neither will King David when he comes out of the bed of his grave. He doesn't know that he's been in the ground for thousands, eons. He doesn't know that. He grabs his chest one day, keels over. A split second later, as far as he's concerned, he's ascending because the dead in Christ rise first, right? So he's ascending. And you could see it. Her eyes lit up. It was a lot of thank yous and a hug the whole 9 yards. It was really almost brought me to tears because she was hurting. But yeah, it was. It's just amazing how the state of the dead situation is so used by Satan, and it is powerful because, like, even when I was a kid, like I said, I got into the occult, and a large part of that had to do with what happened when I was. It was before the tornado, so I was about 10 or 11. That was about 11. It was right before the tornado. When the guys that used to bully me all the time asked me to go with them somewhere, I thought, oh, cool, maybe I'll finally stop getting bullied, you know? Well, I don't want to go into actually what happened, but that's the first time I ever saw the eyes of a demon in my life, first time. And And I believe ever since then there was issues in my life because of that. And then when I found Christ, it's gone. And so, but praise the Lord, because I have no doubt in my wife, especially when something happened one night. I was possessed for a while before I was a Christian. Before I was a Christian. Okay, I said it right. Because there are wolves out there that have, like I said, I was a liar before I was a Christian, like most people are, right? And then he put it in a video. It's in one of his videos that, you know, the guy that fell off the path. Everybody lies before they're a Christian, you know. And for some reason, he seems to think that I'm still... See, like, if you're not a Christian, you can't really understand how someone could stop lying. So that's the case there. But anyway, Paul addressed, she says, the Thessalonians as those who had turned from the practices of heathen idolatry to the service of Christ. Vague heathen ideas concerning the state of the dead were more or less mingled with the new faith. Maybe we should pick that up next week. Yeah, because she's going into her epistle here, or his epistle here. For the voice of the archangel and the trumpet. Okay, and she's still going into it. So I want to kind of like, because we're already after 9. Well, the wall clock is. I think the batteries are going. That's what's weird about clocks. If the batteries are going down, the clock speeds up. You know, it's like almost 5 after. So, okay, let's pick it up here. Where? Because if I go here, it'll keep on going from here. There's only a very interesting idea. Okay. Yeah, we got to have the context. And so I'm gonna end it here. Page 111. I hope and pray you are blessed. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for opening up the Word again to us. And letting us have insight, understanding as to what's going on and what's coming. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And Father, if we're going to make it home but we can't handle the plagues, thank you for letting us fall asleep before that day comes. But at the same time, many of us are striving on to that day to be able to drink that cup. And so we need a lot more faith, courage, discernment, wisdom, and to do that which you would have us do and not what some people would assume today and direct us to do. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us again on this Sabbath day. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is forever our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, creator of all that is seen and unseen. Amen. Amen and amen. In fact, I was just watching a Dr. Karl Baugh video before this because the Sabbath already hit here. And the unseen thing, you know, the inner universe, it's just as amazing as the outer universe and how it's still expanding and all that stuff, too. But that's really, really... I'm going to go back to watching him again right now here in a few minutes. And so I hope everybody was blessed. And I know it's going to be like a little bit of a lag situation going on here. So those of you listening on the stream, I'm going to be... shutting down the stream here in a moment, and we'll see you tomorrow noon for the children's story, and then of course we'll take it from there all day long. We do Sabbath on, well, not on the stream, but if you want to join us afterwards, we do it in audio on the Remnant of God site. So hope and pray that you were blessed. We'll see you all tomorrow on the Sabbath day, because we're done doing with the Sabbath Eve. So take care. God bless. Love you. Okay. Let's see. That should be closing out soon. But, you know, I wonder if that's the reason it keeps on saying I'm online or I'm live on YouTube. It says live stream offline there. But if I go to my YouTube page, let's just see. I'll bet you it still says live. Yeah, still says live. So hopefully they're getting in the last few comments. I really hope it doesn't totally just cut off in the middle of a comment that I was making 20 seconds earlier when I closed the stream. So maybe I should let the stream lag out and then close it. Because if anybody on WTPR is listening to me now, let me know that if I shut the stream off on YouTube, did I shut it off mid-sentence or something, or did it allow for me to say goodbye? Please, 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 I implore you, let me know. I got to know.